Good morning. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, indeed we do pray that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done right here in this room, right here in this neighborhood, right here in this region as it is in heaven. From you to us, through us, to the people around us that need it so badly. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as Pastor so graciously introduced me before, I'm Pastor Greg Finke, and come all the way from Houston, Texas, to be with you this weekend. Most of you I haven't seen much of. You're off doing things, and that's certainly understandable. Got to hang out quite a bit, though, with some folks on Friday, and then yesterday, most of the day from morning into the evening, had some bodacious garlic-filled sausage. So if you're smelling anything, it might be me. And then this morning at the first service and Bible class, and really what we're doing is we're preparing the congregation. I don't know if that's you. Not everybody's all in. I mean, everybody likes being loved by Jesus. Everybody likes being forgiven by Jesus. Everybody likes being saved by Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But then we don't want to really, I mean, come on. Go out and follow Jesus? I mean, we like receiving from Jesus, but going out and following Jesus, that, I don't know. But that's his invitation to you, you realize. Now, you don't have to follow him in order to be loved by him. You don't have to follow him to be saved by him. But if you want to join with him and what he's doing in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your school, well, then we're going to need to not only get up, but go with him. And that's what we've been talking about over these last several months. Some of you have been in on those conversations. All of you are welcome to now participate. There is no line. There is no barrier. There is no gate. Because Jesus talks to you personally and says, come follow me. Let's go to the first slide. Matthew 4:19 is where it all gets started, where Jesus says, come follow me. And that's not a Bible verse to memorize, friends. It's not a sermon topic to preach on from time to time. It is a daily invitation from him to you, the baptized. Come follow me. Let's go see what the Father prepared in advance for us to do today. And there's an underlying kind of question with the invitation, right? And it's simply this. What will you do? Well, you go, thanks, but no. You wouldn't be alone. There's plenty of Christians that do just that. And they're loved and they're forgiven and they're saved. But I will say this, they're bored. Not much adventure in just receiving and not living for the good of others. That's why Jesus says, previous to come follow me in Matthew 4, he says some very helpful things. One, he says, hey, you need to know that the kingdom of God's on the loose here. Y'all do believe the kingdom of God's on the loose in Milpitas. Y'all do believe Jesus is on the loose in your neighborhood. Otherwise, I really have no idea what you're doing here. There's a lot of other things. It's finally blue sky, for heaven's sakes. You could be out there enjoying that. But you see, if you believe Jesus is alive and on the loose, that the kingdom of God is in your neighborhood, well, then you need to hear the next couple things he says, because he says, the time has come, the kingdom of God's in, and that's a done deal. Now, here's what I need you to do. Repent. Believe the good news. And then, come follow me. And then there's that question. What are you going to do? See, Jesus invites you to be a part of something, to be a part of him fulfilling his Father's mission. Now, don't worry. You don't need to be Jesus. In fact, you're not Jesus. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, you're not Jesus, just in case anybody's doubting that. Just turn to your neighbor and just say, you're not Jesus. A lot of you women were having way too much fun saying that to the man next to you. yeah, you're not Jesus. Jesus is going to go do the heavy lifting. Jesus is going to do the work of a son of God. But Jesus invites you to come with him, to be his hands, to be his feet, to be his eyes, to be his ears, to step in rather than step back, to ask the next question rather than rationalize, it's none of my business. He invites you to join him, to come along, to be a reason some good gets loose in the lives of people around you, to be a reason something right happens, to be a reason somebody sits down and says, well, tell me more about that. And that's what this community needs. This community doesn't need another place for Christians to go to church. Now, Christians need to go to church. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're here. You just are a rough crowd, I tell you. 8 o'clock was laughing more than you guys. Would you drink decaf or something before you came? Yeah, so, but we don't have to do the work that Jesus gives us to do. We get to go out and do the work that is so simple even a little child can do it. Of course, that's the rub. We need to change and become like little children, right? To be able to join Jesus on his mission. So we have been taking that step. We have been discovering that. That's what we call it, a season of discovery. That's what we've been doing the last 6 months. And see, this kind of encapsulates it very well. See, let me put it this way. C.S. Lewis once said about his dog. He said, my dog, he occasionally agrees with me. He never obeys me. And the analogy he was making, of course, is to us. We occasionally agree with Jesus. Sure, good idea. Let's do that, Jesus. But the question isn't, do you agree with him? The question is, are we going to obey him? And not in order that we would be good boys and good girls. That completely misses the point. Your obeying Christ is not so that you somehow live up to some expectation, some moral code. That's completely irrelevant. When you were baptized, you were declared his beloved. When you were baptized, you were declared good. When you were baptized, you were said, you're in. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you're in. Go ahead. They need to know this. You're in. You're in. Absolutely, you're in. Yeah, so you're in. But now that we are in, we get to do what Jesus gave us to do. That's called obedience. But the purpose of obedience is not to try and be good. The purpose of obedience is to be a reason good gets loose in the world that needs it so badly. When you do good, when you obey, someone experiences good and they need good. They need a little of what you have in abundance. And when we do that, it's called obedience, but what we're doing is simply being a way by which it gets loose in a world, in a person's life, in a neighborhood, in a workplace, in a school that sure could use a little bit of what you got. They don't need you wagging your finger at them. They don't need you preaching at them. They need you doing what Jesus gave you to do. Like I said, 8 o'clock was a lot more fun. No, you're doing fine. You're doing fine. So we don't want to just agree with Jesus. Yes, sir, that sounds like a great idea. I just don't want to do it. No, this community needs you to not only agree with Jesus, but go with Jesus and do what Jesus gave you to do. Now, the good news is that turns out that that's pretty simple, huh? Have you heard anything that really is out of your reach? Loving your neighbor, doing good, being a reason something right happens. Can we do this? Can we do this? Of course we can. Absolutely. Because you have been loved. Freely you have received. All we have to do is get over ourselves, huh? Yeah. Freely you've received, freely give. Freely receive, freely give. Couldn't be simpler. All we have to do is repent. Believe the good news and do it. So let's go, right? Well, it's like, uh-oh, wait a minute. You mean like we're going to go do this thing, right? And so that's where many of us, when we hear about we're going to go join Jesus on his mission, let's see the next page. We kind of feel this way. Whoa! It sounded good in church when we were all together, but now that I'm actually heading out, yikes! But dear friends, let not your hearts be troubled. Take a deep breath. God's not sending you out on a mission. He's sending his son on the mission. See, the mission requires a son of God. No, all you're doing is going with Jesus. So let's go look at the next slide and be reminded. We are not going for Jesus. We are simply going with Jesus. Jesus is on the loose out there. He's working in everybody's life, whether they know him or not, whether they want him or not, whether they're resisting him or not. But many are actually ready. They're ready for a little grace. They're ready for a little love. They're ready for a little laughter. They're ready for a little insight, a little wisdom, a little patience. The stuff you got in spades. They're ready. And so, when we're talking about joining Jesus on his mission, several of us have been going out and giving it a run. We're not experts. We haven't learned everything there is to know, but we found some stuff out. Because we didn't just agree with Jesus, we got up and began to obey Jesus. We didn't just worship Jesus, which is great, which is first, but we actually got up and went with Jesus out the door, back to the house, back to the office, back to the school. And you've been finding some things out. What have we been finding out? Well, the first thing is this. Next slide. Oh, okay, next slide. Turns out Jesus is a busy fella. You guys are just not going to give me any satisfaction, are you? Yeah. No, turns out Jesus does more than go to church on Sunday. Who knew? Well, those of you that went out and started to put these things into practice found out. You see, when we go out, it's like somebody once told me, now that I know what I'm looking for, I see opportunities to join Jesus everywhere. You see, the problem isn't that Jesus isn't active, that the kingdom of God is not popping all around you. The problem is we don't know what we're looking at. We don't see what we're looking at. In fact, Jesus even warns against such a condition. He says, don't be the guy that's ever seeing but not perceiving. You're seeing exactly what God wants you to see, but you're not perceiving it, recognizing it for what it is. I got a story about my wife and I. It was time for us to replace a vehicle this past summer. And we live in Houston, right? So when you replace a vehicle in Houston, it needs to be some kind of pickup truck, right? I mean F-150, maybe a Silverado, Texas Edition, of course. Something like that, right? And I just presume that's what we're going to do. And my wife, literally out of nowhere, pops off with, I think we should get a Subaru. Subarus are made with love. And I'm like, Subaru what? I mean, no one in Houston drives a Subaru, right? I mean, San Jose, you drive Subarus. Vermont, you drive Subarus. In Houston, we drive pickup trucks, right? There might be a Subaru or two in Austin, okay? But in Houston, there's no Subarus, right? Well, my wife and I had a really nice discussion back and forth, and you probably know how it all went. Yeah, we got a Subaru. Yeah. Yeah, we got a Subaru. A little Forester. It's really a nice car. Well, here's the crazy part. We picked it up. We're driving it home, and I am not kidding you. On that same afternoon, literally thousands of other people bought a Subaru. Well, you know what really happened. It just so happened that now that I had a Subaru, I started to see what I had already been looking at. There were already all kinds of Subarus in Houston. I just wasn't seeing them. I looked at them every day, multiple times. But I didn't know what I was looking for. I didn't see what I was looking at. And as soon as I was looking for Subarus, lo and behold, I was seeing them everywhere. Thus it is with the kingdom of God. It's popping all around you, friends. You're looking right at it. You just don't see what you're looking at. You don't recognize what you're seeing, right? And so that's where let's just quickly walk through what might be some indicator lights. Next slide. You know what indicator lights, right? So on your dashboard in your car, when a little indicator light goes on, you go like, well, here's what you do. You go, uh-oh, right? You may not know what it means exactly, but you know I better start paying attention, right? Maybe I got to pull off and open up the manual and go, what does that mean? But at least we know something's up, right? Well, there are indicator lights that the kingdom of God is going, hey, over here. There are indicators in your life that is basically Jesus going, oh, this right here, pay attention, right? And so what are some of those indicator lights? The first one is interruptions. That when you are interrupted, consider it an indicator light. You may not know exactly what's going on, but because you've been interrupted, you can now know, I better pay attention. And where would we get this idea that interruptions are actually the kingdom of God breaking in? It's actually the Father saying, right here is something I've prepared in advance for you to do. Well, it's easy in the Gospels. I dare you to read one of the Gospels and walk with Jesus, and you will be surprised that there is barely 5 feet that dear man gets, and he is not interrupted by somebody. Most of the Gospels are, in fact, made up of nothing but interruptions. And Jesus was doing the will of the Father. When you're interrupted, friends, especially by a person, bing, indicator light, time to pay attention. The second one is irritations. Isn't this is getting more fun, huh? Yeah. When someone irritates you, it's as if Jesus is giving you a pop quiz. Yeah. You're irritated? What will you do? Will you blend right in? Treat them the way they deserve? Give it right back? Passive aggressively, of course. Or will you respond with your training? Will you respond not as who you used to be, but as who you're being trained to be, more and more like your Rabbi Jesus? Instead of me responding to irritation with irritation, I respond to irritation with grace. It's an indicator light. Pay attention. The third thing is human pain. Now, it's easy to see some human pain. I mean, it's really easy to know about the pain of the people in paradise or the others that have had homes burned or businesses destroyed or churches burned or even loved ones lost. But then there's also the pain that's a little more subtle, but it's still all around us. In fact, in many of our neighbors, in many of our friends, in many of our associates, there is a chronic pain. And we've learned to just ignore it. But you see, it's intended to be an indicator light. There's some pain here. And you can't fix it. You can't solve it. But you can care. You can offer. You can serve. You can give just a little bit of what you got. That's what Jesus' followers do when they're looking for the kingdom breaking in. And once you start looking for it, you'll start to see it. Because here's what he promises. When you seek, you will. There you go. I don't know. What if he meant that? Yeah. We can sum it up this way. Next, last one. Wherever a little grace can be applied. You see, it's easy to be ticked off all the time. It's easy to feel justified all the time. It's easy to feel entitled all the time. Even the pagans can do it. But followers of Christ, we look for where there's an opportunity to treat others a little better than they deserve. And can you imagine if all the followers, all the worshipers of Jesus today went home and followed Jesus? I think we'd see something really good happen in this community. Because the kingdom of God will have been engaged for the good of others, right? The other thing, next slide, the other thing that we have been finding out is it turns out loving my neighbor works. Yeah, I mean, it's the strangest thing. When you stop ignoring them or stop treating them in the way they deserve and start to actually serve them, care about them, get to know them, laugh with them, show them grace, it changes things. It changes things. Someone once told me, I switched from ignoring my neighbor to being curious and caring with my neighbor. It's like, Shazam. Who would have guessed that would have made a difference, huh? Well, Jesus did a very long time ago. And he doesn't want you to memorize love your neighbor or agree with it. He wants you to do it. Now, you can say, I don't want to, and that's fine. Disobedience, he's used to that. But at least call it what it is. You don't want to is disobedience. And then just because I would be negligent if I didn't tell you there's a remedy that would make a lot of sense in this situation, because disobeying God is just not smart, right? I mean, you can disobey God and you still are loved, and if you die tonight, you go to heaven because you're saved by... Yeah, but if... I'm just saying, I wouldn't want to be next to you when you get up there and you say, yes, sir, I heard exactly what you said, but I didn't want to do it. Does that sound smart? I mean, I'm from Texas, and that doesn't sound smart. Yeah. No, let me offer you one little piece of sane advice. This is, you've heard it already, but repent. It's time for you to get over yourself and do what he actually gave you to do. Love your neighbor. Which looks a lot like Mr. Rogers. Now, I know not everybody knows Mr. Rogers, but you can Google him, all right? Y'all have heard of that? And watch some of his episodes. And I would submit to you that you will see in Mr. Rogers Jesus. Number one is because Mr. Rogers was actually a Jesus follower, so he had Jesus in him. But the way in which he engages his neighbors is precisely a model for how you and I can. He goes at this in quite the same way as that person said. He has this curiosity and care that leads him. You don't have to fix your neighbor. In fact, they probably would rather that you didn't try to fix them. You're not their project, or they're not your project. But get to know them. What do they believe? Why do they believe that? Where did they come from? What brought you? What do you do? What do you like doing? What do you not like doing? A curiosity and then a caring, because that's what we do. You can agree with that, or you can do it. And when you do it, what you'll find out is, for heaven's sakes, this stuff works. I forgot. You don't think I'm funny. Okay, that's all right. No, I'm getting used to it. All right. Now, in order to then take the next step, next slide. Let me don't hit the video yet. Share some meals, share some laughs, share some stories. You see, within the context of that, right, that's when we are hanging out, we're relaxing, we're nibbling, we're chatting, we're learning each other's stories. And that's when your curiosity can be offered. And at the very moment that it becomes apparent that a little care might be in order, you can do that too. It's really very simple, and frankly, it's a lot of fun. And at the end of the day, it works. And those of you that have done this know it. Let's just do it some more, huh? Let's watch.
Just too little of what the world needs now. sweet love, no, not just for some, but for everyone.
Turns out, actually, loving your neighbor works. I dare you to give it a try. And then the third thing that we've been finding out is it turns out joining Jesus is a team sport. I mean, after we're done, you have to head out and you got to live the life that you've been given. Go to work, you know, run the kids, whatever you're doing, right? But when we come together, there's something really simple and really powerful about us supporting each other in not just agreeing with Jesus, but joining Jesus, obeying Jesus, going out and actually putting our life into play for the good of others. Like someone once told me, take 10 conversations were the key. Take 10. You may be familiar with those because we've been trying to give people in the different settings at church the opportunity to have those. But if you somehow have missed out, take 10 simply means taking 10 minutes before our Bible class, before our meeting, before our fellowship time, and breaking into small groups and going, so how's it going following Jesus? Tell me about the conversations you're having with your neighbors, with your coworkers. What have you noticed? What is he asking you to do? Real simple stuff like that. And then taking a few minutes in with a partner or two and just telling the stories of how it's going, the good, the bad, the ugly. But here's what I can tell you. If you do that, like they said, it will make all the difference. You see, this person says, I needed someone asking me the right questions. If you come to church and all you hear is stuff like, well, how about that? How about the weather? Or how about the what y'all, don't you have an NBA team around here somewhere? Yeah, we used to in Houston, but they went away. They don't know how to play basketball anymore. But if all we're doing is asking each other questions like that, you'll get the results of asking questions like that. And everybody will be, I don't know, bored. But what if we started asking questions like, so what did you see God doing this week? Did you see a Subaru or two? Did you have an indicator light or six go off? How did it go? What did you find out? How can we help you in prayer? You'll grow up, friends. You'll go from a pew potato to a Jesus follower just that fast. Now, don't feel bad if you're a pew potato. You're still loved. Jesus loves pew potatoes. But he invites you to be a follower. And if you're ready, the invitation stands. Come follow me. And then the last slide, well, it's not the last slide, but almost last slide. For those of you wondering, we're almost done. But now we're ready for a season of launch. If you're ready now to start the following, great. If you're one of those people, though, that have found this out, turns out, Turns out Jesus is a busy fella. Turns out loving your neighbor works. Turns out it's a team sport. Take 10 is important. Then you might be ready for the season of launch. And the season of launch is just taking Jesus by his word again. You see, once he says, come follow me, and you get a little experience in that, then he says, all right, now you go and make more disciples. Well, that freaks us out, doesn't it? See how those guys look up there? Yeah! Right? But we need to understand, next slide, and this is the last slide, we need to understand that that's really what Jesus is saying. Now that you know how, guys, show others how. If you don't know how, then come follow me, because you need to find out how. You need to move from agreement to experience, and you can. It's that simple. Believe, repent, and head out. And if you're those that are starting, you're not experts, you don't have it all figured out yet, but you got a little bit of mojo going, then you're going to be invited to take that next step into intentionality and consistency, because more people need to know what you know, to see what you've seen, to experience what you've experienced. You can. You can. And I'll even add this. Please, you need to show your family, show your friends, show your fellow congregation members. Show them how. In Jesus' name, amen.